Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Thank you all for joining me on the latest broadcast, part of the CSG and MHS Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Special podcast today is a deep dive into what I think is a crisis that has been brewing for the last 20 years in the NBA. The NBA is both smarter and dumber than we think they are. The NBA in many ways has been well ahead of its time in predicting the reliance on cable and in media. It's been well ahead of its time in athletes with social consciousness. It has been ahead of its time in focusing on stars and the boom of international play, well ahead of where anyone else could possibly think. In many ways, the NBA is one of the dumbest organizations that you've seen in professional sports. They constantly undermine themselves with media packages and a kind of a way they box themselves into decisions. David Stern routinely made terrible decisions, starting in 1989 when he forced Nuggets owner Sidney Schlenker to into selling the Denver Nuggets into two guys who couldn't afford to run a team, and then later the ref scandal, the moving of Seattle of the Supersonics to Oklahoma City, his refusal to deal with Donald Sterling for 30 years. But one crucial part of what David Stern and therefore the NBA missed was in their zeal to be ahead of the game and to kind of rescue themselves from a malaise, they let themselves be at the influence of an organization that could influence them. And here is a bit of history in that. In 2002, the NBA was really at a crossroads. the post-Jordan era combined with the lockout in 1998 had depressed the viewing numbers of the NBA to an enormous extent. And it wasn't helped by San Antonio, with due respect to the Spurs and what they accomplished. It wasn't helped that the low-interest San Antonio Spurs won the first title out of the Jordan era. Jordan retiring in 1998 was a crisis point, and the NBA was muddling through. After the Spurs won in 1999, the Lakers won three in a row. That sufficiently propped up the finals numbers, but the overall viewing interest in the NBA cratered. And the league was at a crisis moment. And as you've heard me talk about in several different CSGs going back for 3 years now, the 2000 to 2005 era of the NBA is really what shaped what we have right now. But one of the most under-discussed things that occurred was the NBA deciding to go all in on cable, which was well ahead of the other networks. Well ahead of the other leagues, well ahead of Major League Baseball, which we all know is permanently stuck in 1955. But there is a crucial moment here that really kind of backed the NBA into a corner that they really wouldn't see for another 10, 15 years. The media rights deal, which was then just exclusively a TV deal back in 2002, and it was signed in January of 2002, meant that the ABC and ESPN, which was owned, I think Disney bought ESPN and ABC in 1996. And that purchase meant that by proxy, Disney was the one who was making the call here. Disney backed a dump truck full of money up to the NBA. The NBA was at a weak point. The Lakers were on their way to winning their third straight championship in a very fraught year. But the Lakers weren't alone able to save what the NBA saw was a cratering interest now that Michael Jordan wasn't around to basically prop up the league. The league had become, because it lacked an identity, it became a slow, sledgy, unwatchable mess. It had, I would describe 1999 to 2000, well, even all the way up to 2005 and 6, the dead ball era, like they have in baseball. This is basically the dead ball era of the NBA. It was a crisis moment for the NBA because interest was at a low point. And even after they signed this deal with Disney/ESPN ABC, the inability to get to where they thought they could have to return to the Jordan era dominance that the NBA had. It wasn't the NFL, but it was, you could say the NBA was number two, particularly come post strike. In Major League Baseball strike in the 90s. So they put themselves in a position to where they have to cater to ESPN, ABC, Disney. This was a masterstroke at the time by Michael Eisner, who owned Disney. Well, not owned, but he was the CEO. And this was one of his better moves for the company. Now, later on down the line, if you ask these media partners of these leagues, they will say that maybe it's not such a great idea. But at this time, it was a coup to pull the NBA away from its longtime and very, very stable partner in NBC. NBC had sufficiently done the NBA since 1991 through the entire Jordan era. And the 90-91 was, I believe, their first, their year. So 90 to 2002. So it was 12 years of the NBA on NBC. The Jordan era plus the last 4 years. The problem that the league was having was they saw that the diversification into cable, specifically led by ESPN, was going to be something that was going to dominate the 2000s. This is where the NBA is smarter than we give them credit for. They understood where this was going. With NBC, you had doubleheaders, tripleheaders. By this point, the NFL had left NBC and gone to CBS. So really, the only thing that and the NBC had was the Olympics and the NBA. And the NBA was heavily featured on network television throughout the entire 90s into 2002, led by, you know, Marv Albert, Mike Fratello, Matt Gukas, Dick Enberg, famously called the Game 5 against the Sonics. It was a murderer's row of what you would call great people calling these games, and it was a very contained audience. The diversification was only limited to Turner, TNT, which was owned by, at that time, it was the AOL Time Warner, which had merged. It was a Ted Turner thing still. So the NBA kept Turner and booted out NBC. So that fateful decision locked the NBA into what I would count as a semi-dependent relationship, because the NBA needed more eyeballs and they needed more diversification than NBC could have provided them in 2002. The NBC didn't have multiple networks they could dump regular season NBA games on, and with ESPN and ESPN2, they could air 75 games a year on the network and dump the feature games onto ABC. And at that time, it was Al Michaels and Hubie Brown and Al Michaels and Doc Rivers, as I remember. That's who was calling these games, which was interesting. Al Michaels was not known as a basketball guy for a good reason, if you listen to those games at that time. And it was an interesting time in the NBA. But the NBA was once again saved. And I always say this about David Stern. David Stern was smart in understanding that he could accidentally stumble into things. He stumbled into Bird versus Magic in the 80s. It was the perfect time for whatever that matchup meant, both culturally and basketball-wise, to the NBA. He captured that. He was able to market that, but he didn't do that on purpose. That is something he stumbled upon by about 1985. Which is basically a year after he became the commissioner of the NBA. He stumbled into LeBron, and LeBron and Carmelo in the 2003 draft really did begin to save the NBA from itself. The NBA wasn't at a crisis point like it was in the 70s, where teams were about to fold and there was a drug problem and there was the Kermit Washington Rudy Tomjanovich punch. This is different. This was a crisis of identity. And LeBron and Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and that 2003 draft really injected the league with a much needed entertainment value in a league that was highly dependent on stars. It still is, in a weird way. But in doing that sort of thing, you make a deal with the devil. And I don't want to upset my friends who are very much into Star Wars and Marvel. But as you can see with the way Disney has kind of pasteurized viewing content, you can see that can have an effect on their other properties, specifically the NBA. Disney has an ability to influence with due to their production might and money that maybe some other entities weren't able to do, specifically because of all the networks that they control and their ability to put them out there. Their influence was waning a bit once League Pass came in, but League Pass, even to this day, is more of a gimmick. It's something the NBA really can't sell. And even with the NFL and NFL Sunday Ticket, it's just these things are not sustainable, you know, because as much as you want to say that you can watch the entire league, no one wants to watch the entire league. That's the God's honest truth. So, the NBA has, through the years, put itself into this position. It's a league that, because of its various three different deals that it signed from 2002, 2008, 2014, put itself into a position to where it was trying to make up some gaps in waning interest with trying to diversify content via large media buys from ESPN and Turner. Now, Turner will always be part of the NBA thing. Largely due to, in the past, it was David Stern's relationship with Ted Turner. And Turner has been a reliable partner for the NBA. I don't see that ever changing. But we're coming up on something, and we're going to get to this on the other side of the podcast, but we're coming up on a crucial crisis point again for the NBA. Due to a lot of different circumstances, and I'll go into them in this second part, about how the NBA has backed itself into a corner of its own making and how it might not be able to wiggle out of it with a miracle like they have in the past. But first, I want to talk to you about Belanger Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th in Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwdenver.com. Right now, if you go to bfwdenver.com, you can look at the wine walk that's going to happen in April. It's always a big event for lower downtown. Try that, and I highly suggest you check that out. It's good stuff. But if you don't want to, just take a day. They're open at 1 o'clock. Go down and try some of their wines. They got reds, they got whites, they got Rieslings, they got grapes wine they make grapes from Sonoma County. They got partnerships with Western Slope wineries if you want to try that out. Basically, they have everything you need. If you go to bfwcolorado.com, not Denver, BFW Colorado, they will you see their selections of wine, what's in stock. You can buy bottles for curbside pickup or, any of those. They can deliver them to you or, they can have them shipped. Anything you need. It's one of the best wine bars in Colorado, and I'm heavily biased as I have been a consistent customer since 2019. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee, beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwdenver.com. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSG Podcast sent you. The influence of ESPN/Disney has become more and more prevalent as the NBA's ratings have begun to not recover. Due to an enormous convergence of factors, including Gen Z not exactly being active participants in watching and consuming their media via TikTok, NBA Twitter, which is the most active of the Twitters, the four major sports in the United States. And some of it is the fact that RSNs are becoming unprofitable. And as we've seen in Colorado, it has really manifested itself in no one being able to see the Nuggets. And there's also been other factors, but those are primarily what it is. The cultural stuff people don't care about, and if a Republican comes up to you and says that's the woke stuff, you can just tell them that that is untrue, and maybe they should watch a basketball game and you know, shut up and watch rather than have the guys shut up and dribble. That'll be my advice on that front. But this overall issue has been the influence of ESPN and their media might has led the NBA to be due to their dependence on this. See, Turner doesn't have this problem, by the way. Turner only has a handful of, you know, not a handful, but they have a much less of an imprint because they don't have to fill days of content, days and days and days of content with the NBA. They don't air as many games, but they do have a big influence in a sense that they have former players inside the NBA. They got all this thing because a longtime partner, but they don't have the same issue that ESPN does. Sherwood Strauss, I call him Sherwood because he was Sherwood Strauss for ages on Twitter. I mean, never called him by his name. I always called him Sherwood. Known Ethan forever. There is a, he kind of pointed out that Disney's production ability is terrible. And I will agree with that. And I'm coming back to a previous point I made. These NBA games are flat and they're always influenced by pop culture, but it's like trying to do everything else before the game rather than make the game about the game. That's always been my issue with the Van Gundy, Mark Jackson pairing. I mean, Mike Breen's okay. He's a little too East Coast oriented, but I mean, so was Marv Albert. So, I mean, 6-1, half dozen the other, but, aside from the in-game production, they fill these days and days and days of coverage with nonsense. And it's the nonsense that, due to the influence of ESPN, which has taken over the NBA, the NBA is now led by nonsense. A lot of the kind of the over-focus on drama has largely due to ESPN Disney's influence into the proceedings and how the leaks and all this stuff through NBA Twitter is influenced by large player agencies that are out there. I am very, very much supportive of NBA players. They are in every situation. I am supportive of labor, but there are moments where the players and the people who represent them get in the way of just being able to focus on a game because of the constant drama, all this stuff, and the focus on it. The influence of ESPN onto the general proceedings of the NBA has also led to a big gap in the ability of the league to adequately promote its star players. My friend Adam Mares has kind of pointed out that this has been a systemic problem with ESPN for a while. While I agree, I think the NBA has a desire to promote its stars because that's good business. Coming back to the NBA's dumber than we think, I don't think they know how. I don't think the people in the office know how. I don't think the people in the league office have any clue how to promote Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis is in commercials and stuff like that, but they don't really have a way conceptually to promote them, regardless of whether Jokic, Giannis, and Luka want to be promoted. All right, you're part of a league. You can feature a player. But because of this dependence on moving eyeballs and stuff like that and the influence of ESPN, the league office is located in New York. Much of the infrastructure of ESPN is located in New York and LA. It is very easy for them to focus things in that area. To give an example here, ESPN has no dedicated Nuggets person. They have shared Young Mizuk, but there is no dedicated Nuggets player. They had one for Utah for whatever reason, and Tim McMahon for a while. But there is no, I mean, the Nuggets are leading and have been a good team in the Western Conference for, what, going on 5 years now, five seasons, and there has been nothing, right? Some of that has to do with the fact that the Nuggets don't move the needle for Disney. The other fact of it is the NBA is just generally incompetent when it comes to promoting, and they have been for ages, and in fact, since Jordan left. And I have a theory about that. Jordan allowed the NBA to get really lazy. Jordan, he just had his birthday yesterday. So this is kind of a part of what I'm talking about here. Jordan was so good and so innate at marketing himself, but yet not making himself a object of who is just doing his brand. He did his brand. He did exactly what New York Jordan did, but he had a genius with making it palatable, which is not something necessarily that LeBron has the ability to do. LeBron always comes across as self-serving for whatever reason, and I think that's not his intent. I don't believe that's LeBron's intent. Jordan had this just ability to do this. And for those of you who are not alive when Jordan was ruling the NBA, you would see like Mike, if I could be like Mike, those commercials, really easy to sell. His partnership with Nike was amazing, still is. And his marketability meant the NBA was marketable everywhere. LeBron doesn't have that. The NBA tried to market LeBron in the same way they did Jordan. But what people don't understand is that LeBron James is not as appealing as Michael Jordan. Regardless of what you think about how good they are, right? How good they are in comparison to each other. The fact remains that should be indisputable at this point. LeBron James is not as appealing as Michael Jordan was. There's a reason the NBA hit its absolute apex in the Jordan era. It was due to Jordan. But because Jordan was so good at this, he did the NBA's work for them. LeBron and, to a certain extent, Steph Curry don't make it the... It becomes more about them as their brand rather than them as the star NBA player. And that is why the NBA is just kind of stuck in this thing. And that makes them overly dependent on a Disney that has zero interest in really making the product any good. The influence of Disney in the entire proceeding is to the point now, the NBA has a deal coming up here, and from what reports are out there, the NBC and some other players in this situation are going to make aggressive bids to save the NBA from itself and to make it learn how to market itself. I would advise them to get as far away from ESPN as they could possibly do. This relationship has run its course. It's become corrosive. It's become a bit of a anchor around their necks. I would have moved on from ESPN in 2014 when they signed that last big media buy. I would have said, you know, we'll take a little less money to go with NBC. NBC was 100%, and I don't like NBC, by the way. I'm not shilling for corporation here, but NBC in the past was a lot better at putting on a show, and they were a lot better at featuring the actual league. We don't have that right now. The ESPN's muddied the waters and created a mediocre viewing product. And they've let the influence of drama and they let the influence of big markets take over the entire situation. The Denver Nuggets are the number one team in the West. The Milwaukee Bucks are right there with the Boston Celtics at the top of the East. Don't see much about them at all, do you? Do you? That is ESPN. And the fact that we're kind of forced into watching this crap that ESPN puts out is beyond ridiculous. It is beyond time for the NBA to get somewhere else. They need to be elsewhere. They need, for their own good, even if it's less money, they need to move out from ESPN. It has become a corrosive, mediocre product. And I would say a good 70% of that has to do with just Disney being Disney. Disney's pasteurization of everything. And there needs to be a breaking point. And I think we're at it right now, folks. If I was an average NBA fan, which I am, I would say get them as far away from ESPN as possible. Go back to NBC or whoever, I don't care. But go back to a different model. Put it back on network TV. Make it more accessible and make it a better damn product. Because at this point, it's hard to watch. And with the collapse of RSNs, maybe now is a time to think outside the box. And the NBA has this opportunity right now to take advantage of that. In 2002, the NBA was at a crossroads. They really were. They needed to do something innovative to advance their product. And it sort of did. It sort of worked. It got them through the 2000s. It hasn't worked as well in the 2010s. But they're at that point again. 20 years later, no media should have a 20-year monopoly on the rights for a league. That's too long. NBC only had it 12 years. It's time. It's time to move for the good of the NBA and the good of the NBA fan. All right, thank you for all for watching. Thank you all for listening on this Mortcast. I'll be back soon with another episode. Goodbye.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com. Save big.